give you a little bit of background about the church in Antioch, because this is important. So, let's quickly talk about the spiritual climate at the time. In chapter 12, we read chapter 13, right? But before that, in chapter 12, it indicates that it was a time of severe persecution. It was a season of evangelization. The word of God was spreading and it was flourishing. If you read in verse chapter 12, verse 24, church in Antioch, with its mix of Gentile converts, may have felt a great need for God to send the gospel outside the walls of the church. A good observation would be that the word and the gospel had outgrown the area. So it seems that these five people were praying and fasting how to go about this mission. The church in Antioch were very resilient during troubled times. They had reason to retreat. They had good reason to be complacent. They had good reason to pull the plug out. They had good reason to shut down because their lives were on the firing line. But now they were persistent in prayer, in fasting, and worship during those times. They took the hard call. They pray and fast. They fast and pray. They worship. They pray and fast. They worship. They pray and fast. We don't know how long they did that and how they fasted, but what was clear to us was the fact that they prayed, they worshiped, and they fasted. It's not a big deal to them. Let me take you back to the Bible times. Prayer and fasting is just a normal thing. It's not an extraordinary thing. That's what people do. That's what the church does. So, what is spiritual principles to be get out of this? Number one, Holy Spirit spoke. This is what the Spirit said. Separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. It sounds like God had a plan. And He is intentional in what He does. In fact, I'll tell you now, in all that He does. God is intentional in what He does. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, what does the Bible say? For I know the plans, come on church, that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope, plans to give you a future. And Jeremiah the prophet released that prophetic word to the house of Israel during the time when the house of Israel has just gone into 70 years of captivity. You know what? You need to hear the word of God when you need to hear it. He knows the timing when to say something. Amen? So God had a plan. He's always a God of plan. Even in writing the Bible, it was God's plan. And it was for a reason. In John chapter 20, verse 31, Jesus said, but these are written. Why? So that you may believe. You may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God. And that by believing, you may have eternal life in His name. Amen? It's a God who had a plan. Praise God. Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul, because I got work for them to do. That's my plan. That's my plan. Number two, every plan of God is communicated to us in the form of an idea. It will come to you as an idea, as a concept, as an insight. Amen? And a God idea doesn't just come out of nowhere. Can I repeat that again? A God idea doesn't just come out of nowhere. Because in verse 2, these guys show that they have reached a saturation point for the gospel. And the gospel is spreading so quickly. And then they realize that, think that there are other nations surrounding the nations of Mesopotamia region. And they thought of those people out there outside the walls of Israel and Judea and Samaria, Syria and all of those places. They thought of those people. These people need to hear the gospel too. We get it. They were intentional in their approach. They didn't know what to do, how to do it. They just were given a God idea that this gospel must spread across all the borders of our church. And people, many people will get healed. Many people will get strengthened. Many people will get delivered. Many people will experience the love of Jesus, the power of God. People has to experience that, because I believe that's good news. It changed my life. It should change someone else's life. What does this guy doing as well? Again, verse 2, they were worshiping the Lord and they were fasting. So they fasted, not because they just want to lose weight. No, they didn't fast because they want to lose weight. They fasted because they don't know how to go about. Amen? The God idea. They want God to flesh out that God idea. Amen? Break it down to me, Lord. Break it down to me, God. Luke didn't tell us how long. He told us that while these five men was in the mirror in the middle of praying and fasting and worshiping, the Spirit did break out and gave them specific instruction. Have you been asking God for a God idea? Have you been asking the Lord for a God idea or a God intervention in your life? Have you been asking God? You might think, last Friday night we're here, we have a visitor, and I ask him, do you have something to pray? Is there any prayer request that you want us to pray with you? I said, no, I'm fine. I'm okay. Sometimes we can be like that. It's okay. Everything is fine. But yes, money is good. Yes, health is good. Yes, job is good. Yes, car is good. House is good. But yeah, hang on. My marriage is not good. My relationship with my family is not good. I haven't spoken to my brother or my sister for a very long time. Oh yes, I haven't seen my sister eye to eye for a long time now. Oh, I haven't spoken to my mother for a long time now. Oh, I haven't gone to my grandmother's house for a very long time now. Yes, this is good and that is good. But my business isn't. I need a God idea to get it off the ground. I need a new employer. I need a new job that suits my passion. Whatever the case may be, are you intentional to getting it and to receiving it? In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 1 to 4, Proverbs 16, verse 1 to 4, this is what the Bible said. We humans makes plans. But the Lord, I need you to hear this. We make plans, but the Lord has the final word. Not you, not me. Amen? Are we okay to take that from the Word of God? We humans make plans, but the Lord has the final word. Verse 2, we may think we know what is right. We always like that, isn't it? We think we know what is right, but the Lord is the judge of our motives. Verse 3, share your plans with the Lord and you will succeed. Verse 4, the Lord has a reason for everything He does. Amen? How comforting. God has a reason for everything He does. Number 3, God's assignment is God's appointment. God's assignment is God's appointment. In verse 2 again, the Holy Spirit told them, "Set for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work I have called them to do." What about the other three? Why not Lucius? Why not Manaen? Why not him? The Holy Spirit was specific. It's Barnabas and it is Saul. Because these two, I have work for them to do. You three, I have other work for you, but for this for them. God's appointment is God's assignment. God's assignment is God's appointment. Don't you think that Barnabas and Saul probably thought, look each other in the eye and say, what? You and me together? We're going to go somewhere? No! No, Holy Spirit, you must be mistaken. You must be mistaken, Lord, because the church in Jerusalem only sent us here to help the church in Antioch. Because the Spirit, we're only here for a time being. We're only here for a year. Acts chapter 11, verse 26. He said, we're only here for a year. Lord, we're only here for a year, God. But no, we can't stay here. We can't go anywhere because we are only here temporarily. But God said, I have called you for a work. I have work for you to do. Beloved, God has already work for you to do. You will not know it by scratching your head. Amen? That's what we do. We try to scratch our head every day, thinking that you're going to figure it out anyway. Or by passing time because you are waiting. But if you are a person who wants to take care of your future, or of your family, or, you know, of the people around you, or your job, these are realities that you should be enough. It should be enough for you to wait on God and get close to Him, really. The worst thing that could happen is for you to miss the work that God has called you to do. For you to miss the work that God has beautifully crafted and reserved for you. Because waiting does not mean doing nothing. Waiting is much harder work to do. Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. So when you are waiting, you're actually expecting. Amen? How do we wait? We expect. We expect. And we make our heart courageous. Amen? And we never stop praying. Praise God. Number four, what you think insignificant today might not necessarily be insignificant at all. What you in a lot of times, we don't see the fruit of what we do until later down the track. We've been praying for so long. We've been asking God for miracles. And it's been years and years and years. I've been praying, God. I've been doing this for a long time. God, I don't see. I don't see what you do. Verse 3, after they fasted and they pray, they place their hands on them. And then they send them off. See what God did in this church. God honors the faith. It's faith. Who would think that laying their hands on Barnabas and Saul would mean greater things further down the track? Who would think that what they had engaged to do would make a global impact? They probably would think that their humble gesture of dependence on God would put us in the map, let alone that their names be put in the pages of the scripture. This in Antioch was the first church to have caught God's vision of a foreign mission. Church don't know what God is going to do through you. You watch and see what great expectation. Because right now I'd like to share with you a story. And if I can get just I have a parable that I would like to share with you. I'm going to end with this. You just don't know what God is going to do. You know that $5 that you give to the $5 ministry? Hello? You probably thought that $5 doesn't mean anything. But to show you this picture, this lady, look at the screen. This lady, her name is Ramsel. Ramsel is one of our first converts in CLG Manila. So every time I visit the church, I go to her house. And some of you might remember how Ramsel got converted. She got saved at our first family camp in the Philippines. So we cared for her, we nurtured her, we looked after her. And some of you here have helped her financially at some stage. When we first met Ramsel in 2016 at the CLG camp, Ramsel has no place of her own. She and her seven children from multiple failed relationships, they live at one point for months in the streets. For nearly a year, they were homeless. They were in a wooden cart and they will live there. And she has her little baby at the time. And so every time the rain comes, she will push that cart in that covered basketball court so they will not get wet. That's her life. That's how she got saved. The Lord touched Ramsel's life. She fell in love with God. She started to read the Bible. She became a worshiper of the Lord. And she went on and on and on. She was serving in the church, as you can see. This picture was taken in February. Just last couple of months, the last time we were there. That was during the medical mission thing. And what happened, she began to receive a God idea. A dream that at the time was impossible to happen. She began to dream of getting a job because she was jobless, a more stable source of income and so on, which is hard to do in the Philippines, especially when you do not have a proper education and you had a bad reputation. It didn't happen right away for Ramsel. In our last visit, she told us that she applied for a job in Saudi Arabia. And she said that she had to do it for her children. And I asked her, are you at peace with your decision? And she said, yes, I'm at peace with this. So we prayed for it. And so we have been communicating about the progress of her application since. Last night, she flew to Saudi Arabia at 7 p.m. And she asked me one thing. She asked me this, Pastor, could you please thank the church for me? Thank you for their help, for their prayers, for their support, because they know that the money that we put in there is from you guys. Sometimes you think that the things that you're doing has no significance. I could not stop crying last night because I see the hand of God right there. I see the hand of God right there. But Ramsel, I was thinking, you know, during the time, it took me back to the time what she was thinking when every time she applied for jobs, she got knocked down. When she started that longanisa business, no, she was buying longanisa and she sold that longanisa around the neighborhood. It didn't work well for her. What must have been going on into her heart and to her mind when she will always get kicked out of the house because she has no money to pay the rent of the house, 4,000 pesos. What she must be thinking every time that she will feed her children when she has no food on the plate. As a Christian who's praying day and night for God to do something in her life, what she was thinking probably is, Lord, is there any value to what I do? I worship you, I pray, I do this all the time, Lord God. That's what I was thinking. What was she thinking when God seems to be not doing anything? Sometimes we think that, God, are you doing anything? Lord, can you see my situation? Lord, are you doing something in my situation, Lord God? Can you not see God? Can you not see God? Well, what she didn't know is God is actually doing something right there when she was going through the situation. Right there where she was. God's work is right there where she was. God's work is right there where you are right now. And it's best to leave God what only God can do. And you and I concentrate on what you and I, God wants us to do. Amen? Like the prophets and the teachers, they stay together, worshiping, fasting, praying, fasting and prayer. And you say, Pastor, you got a weird suggestion. Your suggestion to me to worship and to pray and fast is so weird. How will that solve my problem with my employer? How would that solve my problem with my wife? How would it solve my problem with my mother, my father, my sister, my brother, my daughter, my child? Well, how will that solve the problem? How will it solve my mountains of responsibilities that I could not remove from me? Well, it is weird, really. It is really weird because it is weird to see millions of people walking on dry land in the middle of the sea. That's weird. It is also weird to see someone walking in the Sea of Galilee. That's also weird. It is also weird to see someone in the middle of a very hot furnace and yet his whole body is not being scratched. That's weird. It is weird. It is weird. God can do it again. That these five people, they didn't go and, you know, draft programs and projects and all that. It's weird because what they did is so contrary to what the world will do. What the world will do, if they had a vision, what they will, they'll call a committee and they'll talk about it. But these people, they didn't do that. They gathered together and did a weird thing. They worship, they pray, and they fast. We're building a granite plot, and the last Friday and yesterday, they put the frame, right? I said to my children, come on, let's go out and let's have a look. I said to Alan, come on, let's go out and have a look. And Alan said to me, we've already been there. I said, no, I want to go back again and see it. So I went back about 7 o'clock in the night. I went out and I walked around. Why did I do that? Because I was admiring the work of God. Because if I backtrack 3 years ago, when God gave me that idea out of prayer, worship, and fasting, I asked the Lord, God, I'd like to prepare for my retirement. That even though we're retired, I would like to have some source of income. And God gave me the idea. He took me out of the house and he led me to that place, 102 square meters block of land. And God showed me, look, what are you going to do with this spare space? And then God gave me an idea. Why don't you build another house in there and get it rented? That will give you your retirement money. I say, oh, yes. Okay, so that's a good idea. And I went to the bank. The bank said, no. First, no. Second, no. Third, no. Fourth, no. Fifth, no. Seventh, no. Every time is always knocked down. Why? Because they think that I don't have a job. They think that I don't have a job that pays good money like you guys. And so every time I go to the bank, I get knocked down. And I get angry. Because this God idea, Lord, this is from you, God. It must happen because it's you. I didn't invent it, Lord. I went back to that place. I went back after seven knockdowns. I went back to that place. God, you lay your hands on that piece of land. And this is what I did. This is weird. I know it's weird, but this is what I've done. I spread my hands in that piece of land, empty piece of land. And I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, Granny Flat, arise in this place. In this place, this is where you're going to be. And I can see that the Granny Flat is right there. Just like Ramsell, it didn't happen right away. I went back to the bank. The bank said, oh, we can actually look at your credentials. And then, oh, we can actually do this. Oh, hey, let's put the paperwork together. Anyway, history itself will tell us that the Great Flood is standing exactly where I lay my hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is big. So you tell me it's weird to worship, to pray, and to fast? Hey, that is actually your key for your breakthrough. Where is your key? Are you using it? Is your key somewhere else? Try and find it. Look for it and put it into the door of your breakthrough. Amen. I challenge you today. God is a God of surprise. Come on, let's worship the Lord, church. Let's worship our God. I don't know your situation, but I would like you to come to the front. God is going to send out missionaries out of this house. Can anything good happen out of CLG, a small church in whole big world, and the park that is? Why? Because the God is the God who owns the planet. He can send you anywhere, wherever he wants you to go.